Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's now time for Glenn and Casey's Royal Ramble.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Casey, how are you?
I'm good, yourself?
I'm going nuts in quarantine. And it's time, Casey, it's your selection.
Yeah, well, why not? Because it's such a nice, warm, sunny day. Let's do it.
Yeah, I knew it was time for SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's definitely SummerSlam. It's only been freezing and raining nonstop for the past 48 hours. Anyway, let's cast back to a more simple time, the year 2000. We all remember we didn't get wiped out by the Y2K bug. We lived on to enjoy the future that we are living through now. But back in August of that year, do you remember where you were on the 27th of August? You and I, we sure weren't in Raleigh, North Carolina at the entertainment center there. But everyone else was.
Oh, sorry, I'm just talking over the top of your shit. This is so bad. Well, we do this every time. We'll get there one day.
I'm rambling anyway.
We need like a point or a light or something. I don't know. Like, oh, it's my turn. I'm on.
How does Michael Cole and bloody JR and King do it? Maybe. So one of us needs to do commentary. The other one needs to just shout out puppies every now and then.
Yeah. Woohoo! what I was going to just quickly say is, what is it? Is it Raleigh or Rayleigh? How do you say it?
I think it's like Raleigh.
Oh, Raleigh.
Or Riley. It's Raleigh, Raleigh, North Carolina. Raleigh, I don't know. It's not how it looks.
Right, because it's Raleigh Entertainment and Sports Center. That's a really weird name. Like, wouldn't you just be the Raleigh Center or pick one? Entertainment or Sports?
I guess, you know, you can go there to watch your concerts. You can go there to watch your sports. You can go there to watch your sports entertainment.
I understand that. But, like, here, when things are open, of course, in Melbourne, in chilly, shitty Melbourne, you go to the MCG. It's the Melbourne Cricket Ground.
Yeah, how often do you go there for cricket? Never.
Never. Ever. I hate cricket. I hate cricket more than baseball. Cricket's the cure to insomnia. Okay, so it's just, I put that on and just fall asleep straight away.
Oh, absolutely.
Not relevant. We have 17,002 in attendance tonight.
Ah, Gorilla and Jesse, perhaps.
Yeah, well, I was thinking it might be the King and JR, but yeah, we can go with that. And how about that opener, the operatic weird...
Yes. Do, 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 do. We should open our show with that.
We might. Don't worry. The editing skills of... Nah, I'm too lazy. it starts out... Well, we got Freddie Blassie. We dust him off.
That's right, yeah.
He's sitting there tapping his cane. It almost looks like a bit of a Wyatt family thing that I'm watching here, but... I don't know. I was like, is this supposed to get me in the mood? But I was quickly in the mood because this event is actually quite a good pick.
Yeah, it's a fun one, isn't it? Like, I watched it all in one go, which is pretty rare for me these days. It's not all the greatest wrestling in the world, but it's pretty much constantly entertaining.
Yeah, no, thoroughly enjoyed it. It was an easy watch. And we started out, like all great events should start out, with a six-man tag.
Yes, yeah. We got Right to Censor. God, the most annoying theme ever. So Bull Buchanan, The Good Father, and Stevie Richards. And they're up against Too Cool, which is, of course, is Grandmaster Sexai and Scotty Too Hottie, but they're also accompanied by Rikishi. Now, they make up for the horrible Right to Censor opening music by coming out with some killer music. That Rikishi tunes. And he's dancing away, and he's got all the ladies with him. That was cool. That was fun.
He was accompanied by Mandy and Victoria.
Ah.
Victoria actually went on to become a Divas champion, I believe.
She did, yeah. I didn't recognize that was her.
What do you think about the Good Father? It's like, I understand what they're doing, and the Godfather was probably getting stale at the time. But I tell you what, he doesn't work. We were discussing Karma, Papa Shango, whatever his name is, Charles Wright, I think. But we were talking about him last time, saying that, like, at least when he was Karma, he was wrestling and acting like the size of the man he is.
Yeah, exactly.
How lame is he as the Good Father? He's copying bumps off the girls. That was just strange. And you can almost see him not enjoying it, going, this isn't fun.
Well, surely he was having a lot more fun with the hoe train and the cigars and the iced tea and everything. Yeah, he would have been having needs more fun back then.
Yeah, hanging around with Stevie Richards.
Yeah.
But you know what I liked? I liked the fact that at least with Right to Censor and not the music, I had an alarm clock that was more pleasant to listen to in the morning than that. Like, it just grates you, but it's supposed to grate you. Yeah. These guys are actually old school heels.
Yeah. Well, because I just started watching this and I was like, they come out and they're noise. And I was like, yeah, that's a really annoying annoying theme. But then also I thought I could hear my smoke alarm going off as well. And I was like, oh shit. But it turns out it was just the background of their theme.
Yeah, I know. It's so grating, but you know, it's kind of great. Like I appreciated it because this is 2000. All the heels were kind of starting to get a bit cool, weren't they, back then?
Yeah.
And especially WCW, we've got the NWO, and everyone liked them. No one wanted to see the good guys win.
Yeah.
So these guys are actually pretty hard to like.
Yeah, definitely.
So what do we got? Anything happen here?
Scotty Too Hotty becomes Scotty Crossbody.
That's about it.
That's the only. It was a pretty short match. How long did we go for? It was like 4 minutes or something. It ends like Scotty's setting up to do the worm. He's doing that stupid hop thing. How ridiculous is his hair, by the way? God, he's an idiot. And then so he's setting up to do his worm. Then all of a sudden, Stevie Richards comes in and just clotheslines him and then pins him.
I loved it. I loved it because we all know the worm, and the worm's lame. Apart from the fact he can do the worm, good for him.
Yeah, it's more impressive when the fat guy from Heavy Machinery does it.
Yeah, Otis.
Yeah,
he does the slug.
Yeah, or the caterpillar or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's the caterpillar. Yeah, but the only other thing I'll add is I did laugh when Karma Godfather, or Good Father, whatever his name is, he actually accidentally trips on Grandmaster Sexan's foot. And then, you know when it's like just a real damn stumble, like damn it, like it just was. It wasn't fluent. It wasn't part of it. It's pretty funny. And also the other weird little bit prior to the super kick by Stevie out of nowhere was Big Keish is sending in the little guys because they've got all the Right to Censor all sort of piled up in the corner, like, and he's sort of tapping them on the butt and sending them in to like. Deliver a lame move, but then it was a little weird, but kindly short. And a lot of these matches are, I noticed.
The pace of this this one's really good. Like, you don't get bored of anything because as soon as you're like, oh, this is about to overstay its welcome, boom, it's over and the next thing's on.
I know. And speaking of overstaying your welcome, guess what's on next?
X-Pac versus Road Dogg. So this is a rematch from, remember King of the Ring 99? And they were like, still friends? Well, they're not friends anymore.
No, I know, but why is every event that you pick, it's got these guys wrestling?
Because they're my two favorite wrestlers, obviously.
Okay. It's just weird, because I was like, and this one's the longer match at 4 minutes 31. I got an interesting fact for you.
Yeah, go.
This is the match that finally killed DX.
Mm-hmm.
No more DX. It's over for 6 years after tonight.
Well, it couldn't have gone out on a more appropriate note.
Yeah, I know. Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, I know. So we've got a lot of tit for tat. Not a lot happening here. Crotch chop here, crotch chop there. Brody's jersey has number 69 on the back. So bad. But anyway, I like how it ended. X-Pac sneaks a low blow in and then smashes him with an X-Factor.
That's right. But then he's like, no hard feelings to his old mate Road Dogg. And Road Dogg does have some hard feelings in the pants, apparently, and starts humping him doggy style and then hits him with a pump handle slam.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Can you hear my dog at the moment?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, she must have heard you. Oh, it's doggy time. Yeah, I know. But look, again, hey, we can't complain. Kindly short.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of nonsense going on in between these matches. I didn't really jot a lot down because my page is already full. So jump in anytime you want.
We did have a little bit in between those two matches. There was just a quick bit recapping what happened with Stephanie and Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle snuck a sneaky kiss on poor old Stephanie when she was all a bit out of it and a bit woozy. Yeah. And Shane was not thrilled about that. But then now we're backstage with Eddie and China, who are going to be in our next match, up against Trish and Val. And this is an interesting stipulation here because it's an intercontinental match, Val Venus being the champ. So it's a mixed tag.
I don't remember him being champ.
You don't?
No, at all. Well, I'm going, Val's got the belt. What?
Yeah, he ends up joining Right to Censor, doesn't he? I assume that was after this, I guess. After.
Yeah. Well, you notice he was a bit grumpy backstage prior, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing about this match, though, the reason he's a bit grumpy is because basically he's teaming up with Trish, and basically if he wins, he retains the title, but he's up against Eddie and China, and whoever wins out of those two becomes the new champ. So, it's a little bit unfair.
Yeah. True. If I would rather China in my corner, to be honest, in a wrestling match. Absolutely. Got to agree. China looks pretty good here.
Yeah, yeah. She's this is probably her peak of, like, because this is obviously after DX and sort of, yeah, around this time when she was working with Eddie Guerrero. It's pretty much the high point of China's time in WWE, really.
It is. And not that I was really paying attention, but I did notice Val's hair looks better, short too.
Yeah.
That scraggly long. That never sort of fit the rest of him. It never looked good. But, this is the only time that stipulation ever occurred where it ended with two females in the ring.
Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, I would assume. I'm surprised it happened once.
To that point, China pins Trish and becomes the new Intercontinental Champion. But that's what I mean. Like, no wonder Val's grumpy because he's now lost the title by not being pinned to someone who fought someone else. Like, you know what I'm trying to say. It's it's unfair on poor old Val, but who cares, because no one likes Val Venus. But do you see, he goes to give China a suplex earlier in the match and accidentally, like, causes a little bit of a wardrobe malfunction, and China has to quickly reattach her very small wrestling trunks.
Yes.
But she did that quite well. I noticed. I thought, oh, that's a disaster. How's she going to get that back together? But luckily, it must be like some studs there or something.
Yeah. That's what you were paying attention to.
Apparently. That's what my notes say.
What's China wearing? What's happening now with China? Yeah, I actually really liked Eddie Guerrero in the match, even though some of his moves that are so fluid. Like a lot of the time, and didn't sort of work. He was a bit clunky, but overall, though, I just love watching Eddie. He's great. Yeah. Quote of the night so far is JR's gone, look at Trish's pouty lips, and King's gone, you're looking at her lips. But and I'm like, oh, that's right, of course. But of course, you were too busy going, oh, China's underpants look funny. But yeah, so a big clothesline to Val by China, and the crowd liked that.
Yes.
I'd like that a lot. But yeah, as you say, at the end, it ends up the two girls in the ring. And of course, Trish isn't going to beat China.
Not tonight, that's for sure.
No. So Mamacita won. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of that. And that was, that went for 7 minutes. And I kind of enjoyed it. This is sort of our Randy Savage and Sherry against Dusty and Sapphire. Sort of, that you go, is this necessary? It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And Eddie, funnily enough, was quite supportive of China winning the belt. He wasn't upset that, it wasn't him that won. So that's interesting.
That was interesting. Eddie, absolutely, of all the radicals that come over, along with what Perry Saturn, Benoit, and Chris Jericho, he was certainly the one that went to the moon. And deservedly so.
Yeah. You mean Malenko, not Chris Jericho.
Malenko, yeah, right. Chris Jericho came later, didn't he?
Or earlier.
I think so. I'm glad we do a podcast because clear these things up.
He came at a different time, we'll just say that.
He did, because he came out when The Rock was doing a promo, didn't he?
Yeah.
This fucking dog, honestly. Oh, mongrel. She hasn't barked all day. Anyway,
speaking of mongrels,
yes,
I don't know if you saw what Taz did to poor old JR, but he's like got his face is all busted up and cut open from smoking glass. That dastardly Taz.
Yes, I know. Actually, I liked Taz's sort of heel turn here. He was good. He was good, and he was believable.
Well, he nearly take out JR's eye, so, you know.
I thought that was just part of the story. The story's pretty simple here. And Taz is picking on JR. Really nasty comment. You know when he says, I'd slap you in the face, but it looks like God's already done that?
Yeah.
You know, even I went, don't say that about JR. And I like when he's saying to JR, going, come on, hit me, hit me. And King gets up and goes, smack, and I popped. I was like, yeah, get the little bastard. So I'm in. I'm all in with this match, and I don't know why. I mean, didn't think I'd be hanging out to see Jerry versus Taz.
No, but yeah, it's a good little story. And again, doesn't overstay its welcome. It's it's only another 4 or 5 minute match, isn't it? 4 minutes. But yeah, again, it's a different, like all of these matches. We've had mixed tag matches. We've had 6-man tag match. We've had classic X-Pac versus Road Dogg showdown, and now we're getting a commentator, or you know. Jerry the King entering back into the ring up against Taz and with an interesting story behind it. So it's fun. It keeps rolling and, you know, it's keeping things different here. I don't have much to say about the match.
There's not a lot to say.
Just that Taz is like choking out King at the end and JR grabs his big lolly jar and smashes it across Taz's head to give King the win.
Loved it.
Yeah, good.
Absolutely loved it. I noticed at the very beginning of that, JR offers him some candy before the match. I'm like, planting a seed. Very clever there. The King did have a plan. Wink, wink, everybody. But, overall, it was the one thing that I found really strange is Taz is sort of playing the Jerry Lawler part that Jerry Lawler would do a couple of years earlier.
Yep, totally.
Especially when he comes out pretending to be blind with a cane.
Yeah.
The hat on. I'm like, what are you doing, Taz? but it was good. It was good. And that's about it. Passed. I found it very strange. I'm like, are we allowed to cheer Jerry? This is weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it was odd because, particularly in these later day things when I guess he was the face in against Michael Cole as well at that WrestleMania.
Well, see, that was not a 4-minute match, was it?
No.
You wish. Yeah, no. Look, it was a bit of fun, something different. And then the King just sits back down like nothing's happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the two old dogs got one over Taz. And that's about it.
Cue the King's that's music. It. And then in the interest of keeping things moving and keeping things different again, now we've got a hardcore championship match, Shane McMahon versus the challenger, Steve Blackman.
This is probably my favorite hardcore match ever.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
I love Shane's interview. He's cut short because, like, Blackman's stalking him down the hall, like, time to party. like, I'd run too. But
Shane, the best Shane Blackman Max, match too, as well.
Yeah, yeah. But Shane O'Mac's entrance is him running for his life down to the ring. You don't see that too often. But, so Blackman's got he hasn't forgotten his kendo stick, has he? And he's got his bin.
Yeah, well, he bloody backhands Shane with the trash can lid right to the face at the start of the match, and it's brutal. Like, it's like way harder than, it's definitely a concussion-causing blow. Then he whacks the bin over Shane's head, and Shane's legs are just dangling out, and he's just, that's hilarious. He starts banging it with his nunchuck things, like, oh, so good.
It's great. And Steve Blackman, Mr. Personality, I was like thinking, this is terrific. Because, like, really, any other circumstance, you'd be going, poor Shane.
Yeah.
But that's not in this. It's just so well done. And, the Blackman, he used to come out and you'd go, whatever. But tonight was his night.
Definitely.
Now, as soon as a couple of pests run out from memory, TNA. Yeah.
Yep. Test and Elder.
And this is, of course, they've spilled out into the crowd already. And, like, TNA come out and start making fodder of Blackman, and then it spills out again.
Yep.
Down the aisle we go. But Blackman recovers pretty quickly. And up goes Shane. Up the, well, I was going to say the ladder, but
yeah.
Up the scaffolding. Man, that's high. It's so high. And because I'm not a fan of height. And Kath was watching it. She's sitting there going, what? Is this like the first thing that Shane's ever done like this? And I think it is.
Yeah, probably.
But it's just so, how these big falls, it's just so dramatic.
And yeah, the only downside is it happens off a really weak kendo stick hit, like that final hit that Steve Blackman does on his back. It's just a little tap, and Shane goes, whoa! They could have made that a bit rougher looking.
I guess, but if you look closely, Shane looks like he smashes his head on the scaffolding too before he goes down.
Oh, I didn't know.
So it's like a bonk, donk, oh! And he falls for a while. He falls long enough for you to go, ah! And then Blackman's smarter. He climbs down a little bit first,
yeah.
And then delivers a big elbow for the win.
Yeah.
I'm having fun, Case.
Yeah, yeah. That's a match that's always... I remember the first time watching it. It might have even been at your place, like back in the year 2000. And in between a marathon Nintendo 64 wrestling session. But I've always remembered that match. It's a fun one. It's definitely, like I said, the best Steve Blackman match, that's for sure.
It doesn't say much, but yeah.
No.
Can you hear the rain coming down over here?
No.
Oh, it's coming down, baby. Here we go. All right. Winter Slam.
Yeah.
Now, I was exhausted after that match.
Oh, did you notice every time the SummerSlam logo came up to introduce people's names, it would... sort of spin off the screen going, it was really loud and annoying.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it's really cool. I don't like anything going in anything. So yeah, that I'm a big fan of that. But I guess I got used to it. It wasn't irking me too much. What do you think of this next match?
Well, this next match, despite one of the, combatants was. Jesus, I can't speak properly.
Glad Jericho, you had that coffee.
Jericho versus Benoit, Canadian double threat.
Yes.
And it's a 2 out of 3 falls match. Okay. Now, they're both great wrestlers. They're both sort of at their prime level in terms of in-ring work. It's a really good match. It's just, again, as any Benoit match, hard to watch.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I got over that pretty quickly. I can't believe that this wasn't for a title.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
This felt like it should have been for the IC title.
Yeah, absolutely. Much more so than the Val Venus and China and Eddie match.
That's it. And this is way before Chris Jericho had those bad hair plugs.
Yeah.
And way before Benoit, well, yeah. But, but look, it's a fast-paced mat match.
Yeah.
Heaps of counters and some high-flying fun. And it was just such a... I don't know if I remembered this match well or if I just predicted it because it was so well done, like an old-school wrestling match.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jericho moved because it's best out of three.
Yeah.
Jericho taps to the crippler crossface for the for full one, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And it happens quite quickly. It actually happens sort of in a way where you go, oh, he just tapped to get out so he can continue.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And I appreciated that. And then number two, Benoit taps out to the Walls of Jericho.
That's right.
And then he nearly does again, but I think he gets over to the ropes, etc.
Yeah.
But then that last fall. And this match only goes for 13 minutes. They tell quite a story here.
Yeah, it's great.
I did have to laugh. And Jerry's like, I don't know. I put my money on Chris. I was like, yeah, thanks. Jerry. Jesus. You know what was annoying? You want to talk about annoying things? Is the wind nearly blows me over out here. I feel like I'm sitting on a ship or something out here. Got the rain hit me in the face. I'm like, sea spray. But they played their music every time a pinfall happened.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not necessary. We don't need that. But we see some cool shit here. Jericho's pretty good, actually. He jumps off the top rope and hits an elbow, but to a standing crippler. And I liked that. Also, like, his lion salt. It was just fantastic.
Yeah.
But it wasn't clunky. It was believable. And it was really believable. I think that was the best thing about this.
Absolutely, yeah. Bret Hart would have been proud.
He would have of his fellow Canadians. And of course, the third match, we have Benoit with a sneaky little rope hold.
Yeah, so Jericho essentially gets the roll up, but Benoit quickly reverses it, grabs onto the rope, and gets the pin.
I like it. It's so smart. Because who's really lost here? You go, hey, Jericho got cheated, and Crippler doesn't cheat. He had to cheat to beat him. Are you serious? Mm. So, look, I love that. And I was actually exhausted after this match. You thought I was exhausted after the match prior, where Chano Mack flies off the scaffolding. I was exhausted after this one. And then we get this one.
Yeah. So the next one is the main reason I wanted to pick this SummerSlam. And it is the Edge and Christian versus Hardys versus the Dudleys. This is actually the first ever TLC match. So this is prior. So the next one was at WrestleMania 17 was after that. That was WrestleMania 17 was a redux of this match, essentially.
Yeah, right. Mm. Well, did you initially think this was part two?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's hazy.
You're right. You know the promo pictures where everyone's like, at the beginning of all the matches, and everyone's got their tough guy wrestling face, and then Bubba's standing there like he just sat on a pine cone, like, there's always someone just doing something a little different, like Sesame Street. One of these kids is doing something different, but you just go, look at them. But this match is just a car crash.
Yeah, this towards the start, even Bubba. You see it where he gets like Christian, they're both on the ladder, and he sort of gets Christian in like a full Nelson and then like jumps off the ladder and smashes like, yeah. And it's like, I think I wrote somewhere here there's just like a lot of, I got to jump to my next piece of paper. Lots of coccyx damage in this match. Everyone seems to be copping a hit right to that, you know, tailbone.
Why are these kids doing this to themselves? Considering we just previously in the archives, folks, watched King of the Ring 95. Apologies. But the Hardy Boys are opening the bloody door for Mabel going, I'm going to be king. And, you know, you're like, oh, man, this is so bad. Watching these guys here, how long later? This is 15 years later?
5 years.
5 years later. Man, I should have written that note. 5 years later. 15 years they've been wheelchairs.
Actually, on that note, I just saw just before doing this, because right now, I don't know if you're aware, but right now on the network is the new NXT TakeOver, which is TakeOver 30 or TakeOver XXX, because it's the 30th TakeOver event. And so I just saw a thing on Twitter. Natalia's posted an Instagram story or whatever saying, congratulations, 30 years of NXT. Like 30 years?
Well, I'm not going to say anything, am I? But I like Natty. She's all right in my book.
Yeah.
Her calculus is as strong as mine, apparently. But let's get back to the match. My notes are kind of funny because it's like the Bubba Bomb off a ladder. Then we see a what's up through a table and off a ladder. And then we see a twist of fate. I keep writing off a ladder. It's like, we get it.
Yeah, everything's off a ladder. That Jeff Hardy sort of leapfrog over the ladder as well, onto his coccyx again. Towards the end, it's basically just everyone gets pushed off a ladder in through tables.
Yeah, but out of the ring through tables.
Yeah, exactly. Through like stacks of four or five tables high. Like poor old Bubba gets pushed off pretty rough, just like boom. Lita runs out and pushes Edge and Christian off, and they get a double knackerator. Like they both land on the ropes. Go boing, boing, boing.
It's the Wile E. Coyote match. I know.
Devon tips Matt off the ladder onto the tables as well, pretty brutally. But then,
I was just going to say that was the most dangerous thing because he was so close to that barrier.
Yeah.
He had no room for error there.
And they follow up with also a very dangerous thing. Do you see that spear that Edge hits Lita with outside the ring?
Yeah, and she nearly smashes her head. I know.
She's that close. She's centimeters away from a broken neck on the ladder.
I know. And actually, it's funny because Jim Ross is like, oh, that son of a bitch. He just keeps swearing. And King's like, oh, all right, calm down. Jim Ross is calling Taz a son of a bitch too. He's all pumped up. We're getting salty JR tonight. So, I think that the writer of this match must have watched the ending of It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, yeah, where they're all on the ladder going, and everyone just flies off.
Well, it ends with Jeff and Devon just hanging off the belts.
Can those belts be any higher?
Yeah.
That ladder is so big. R-Truth would not be in this match.
That's right.
Anyway, sorry.
After Jeff and Devon dangle and fall, Edge and Christian end up getting the win. But notice the crowd's booing the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted Edge and Christian to win. That surprised me.
The Hardys were booked to win.
Right.
But then it was apparently decided backstage that's too predictable. Because why give the people what they want? So, because I think the Hardys actually won the belts in the prior month.
Right.
Following month. Far out. Oh, my God. I've got ISO brain. It's so bad. I know what I'm saying, and then it comes out my mouth wrong. This is a great podcast so far. But never mind the podcast. Maybe just go watch the pay-per-view, even though this would be much quicker.
True.
So in the end, the douchebags, the prior brood, how dumb is their pause for the cameras posing? It's so stupid. We see a concerto, surely. We have to. But this match, this was a doozy.
Yeah, it's a classic. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'd have to watch it back-to-back with the WrestleMania one to see which one's better. I mean, the WrestleMania one's got the classic spear off the, to Jeff hanging off the belt or whatever, off the ladder, but... you can see why they ran it back, because it's a wild success and by far one of the most entertaining matches of the year 2000, that's for sure.
This should have closed the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And look, to be fair, and I was even thinking in hindsight, if you put this slap bang in the middle of the pay-per-view, you could have even had Benoit and Chris Jericho close the show. Because that was a proper wrestling match. That was good.
But even still, like, this is almost as long as the main event, and it's still only 18 minutes. Like, nothing in this event overstays its welcome at all.
Thank you, WWF. It was F back then, still.
Yeah.
Thank you, WWF. I know. So, next, we've got... I'm going to recover from this match. We've got the Cat up against Terry Runnels.
Yeah, so it's the Cat's with Al Snow. Yep. Terry's got Perry Sutton on her side. Terry and Perry, that was a team that didn't happen, that should have. But this is not just any old match. It's a thong stink face match.
Yeah, I know. It really is just 14-year-old boy entertainment that's just so embarrassing to watch now, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
You know, you're just like, oh, man. And, like, his cat's sitting there going... What's wrong with Terry's face? Because she's had so much work. And
she
does, because that's the girl straight away. Go, look at her face. She looks so old. And I'm like, I feel like the king. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm looking at her face. Yeah. I was going to say this match is kindly short, but it goes a bit too long for me at 3:07.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is what you expect. There's a couple of terrible wrestling moves, a Bronco Buster and a Bulldog that are poorly executed. But yeah, we all know what we came here to see, and that was the Cat stick her butt in Terry's face.
Grown men would pay a lot of money for that, I think. But it's just, yeah, I'm sitting there going, I feel a bit dirty. I think I need a shower now, you know? But see, the King burst out laughing because he was actually in a relationship with the Cat at the time.
Yeah.
The King's still sitting there in commentary now with his shirt off, like these man boobs. Hello, it's like, put your clothes back on, Jerry. I don't know, that was kind of funny. But you see, at the end, after this, this massive match, this great bout, El Snow puts the Cat up on his shoulders,
and then
he spins around and goes, "Yay!" and the whole crowd laughs. And the King bursts out laughing, like, going, "Oh my god!" And that's why, because of that. But, it is what it is.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
again, it's variety on this show, and that's what this show's been all about. It's been lots of different types of matches, lots of fun, and you know, how could you follow that up? We've had like an epic 2 out of 3 falls match, an epic TLC match, and even more epic Thong Stinkface match. Let's follow that up with the classic Kane versus Taker showdown.
Yeah, now this, sadly, I thought we'd just watch the toilet break match. This is the toilet break match?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not very good.
It's not. Well, it's horrible era Taker. Like, it's American Badass, terrible theme song Taker. Yeah. And Kane is like just past his cool stage where he hasn't quite got to, he hasn't unmasked yet or anything. Well, actually, I assume this match is the unmasking match, isn't it? Like,
it's not, it's not actually, it's not where he continues forward without a match. Without a match. My God, I've got word salad, Case. Let me take my pills. Hang on. He actually takes his mask off voluntarily later when he was in a tag with RVD.
Right, right.
From memory. Don't quote me on anything today.
Well, it's good to see that he was COVID safe even back in the year 2000. But yeah, well, Taker does rip a bit of his mask off. What else? Oh, there was a couple of good bits where Kane, he's got the steps and he goes to throw it at Taker, but like smashes it into the post and then knocks himself out pretty badly. And then Taker follows that up by piffing the stairs straight back at his head again.
Yeah, I know. Busts him open too from memory.
Mm, yeah. Well, that's why you got to not have a torn, half torn off mask to protect your face from all the stair shots.
There's also a dreaded chair shot prior.
Yes, that's right.
Which was pretty nasty. But past that, I mean, look, I knew that we weren't up for much when Undertaker comes out and he's got red hair and he's overweight and he might as well come out on a tractor. He's got a he's got a cap on, but, you know, and he's like, what are you doing? Like, it's not the rehearsal. But yeah, look, it just is what it is. We get a demasking at the end. Don't see Kane's face. Kane runs off like a scolded dog. That's the end.
Well, yeah, it's not even a match, is it? Because it's a no DQ match, yet the bell never rings to start the match, and no one ever wins. It's just two guys just come out and fight for a bit. But look, mercifully, again, it was only 7 minutes long, so, you know, that's fine. I don't mind that for 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was more of a TV match, though.
Definitely.
And the commentary they're trying to keep you in on it, even though there's not much to be in on, but they're like, oh, look, they're just throwing the rule book out with this one. The ref's not even calling anything. It's like, well, why are we doing, why is he there then? Like, yeah. I don't know, this is sort of shades of that Goldust and Piper clash at WrestleMania 12. Yeah, what's happening? But anyway, the Undertaker gets to come out on his motorcycle. All right. So what have we got next? Hey!
Hello!
Da, 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 da. And look, this is actually quite a good match, but yeah. I'm out of breath. You start.
All right, so it's a triple threat. The Rock is the champ, and he's up against Triple H and Kurt Angle. As we mentioned earlier, Angle's had a bit of a liaison with Stephanie, which has obviously got Triple H all pissed off. So I think Kurt comes out first, doesn't he? He's like, talking to the crowd and shit, and then all of a sudden Triple H comes down to kick his ass. But the match can't start yet because The Rock's not out. But The Rock's like, well, I'm not going to go out yet. I'll just wait for these two idiots to beat each other up.
Crazy like a fox.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a smart move. And basically, yeah, Triple H and Kurt Angle just beat the crap out of each other. And Angle ends up getting stretchered off, doesn't he?
Well, you know what? Angle was legitimately concussed because prior to The Rock coming out, he's having a cup of coffee at the back. Yeah. These guys have their own little match, and I didn't mind this because this is a new way to sort of, instead of just having three guys lumbering around for the whole time, you kind of get a one-on-one match a couple of times with different guys.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't mind, actually, because it only goes for 20 minutes, and you get your money's worth here. But you know that they go up on the table implodes underneath them, and you get that do not try this at home kids bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And Angle was concussed from that, and he was a bit wonky on his feet from then on. He still does the job. You forget how good Angle was back then, don't you?
Yeah. But all he had to do at that point then anyway was to be out of the match so that we could then get our Rock versus Triple H portion of the match, which is exactly what you expect from those two, which is a classic, two legends going at it. Let me just check my notes.
I'll go over my notes quickly while you're going over yours. But prior to Rocky coming out, we get the sledgehammer too.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then out comes the bloody Rock. Angle ends up on the stretcher. We know all this. Stephanie comes out to join in the havoc. And she does real lame whoopsie, like, whoops, I hit Hunter instead. And and Triple H sends her packing. Get out of here. What are you doing, woman? Out the back. So she goes out the back and gets Kurt.
Well, as she's going out, Rock is sort of goes after her, and Triple H hits him with the low blow. And then, so Triple H has now got the upper hand in the match. But yeah, Steph is like, oh, Kurt, you need to come out and help Triple H. Do it for me. Do it for me, Kurt. So she drags him out, and he just runs straight in to spoil the Triple H's pin after he just hit the pedigree on the Rock.
I know. It was great. I hate all the neighbors home and away BS all through this. I didn't even write anything down. I'm like, this is so bad. It's so poorly acted. I mean, they're not going to win any Slammy Awards for acting here. But the actual match at the end of the day, it'll come together quite nicely.
Yeah.
And so we see the pedigree, and then we see. Does Hunter meet some stairs shortly afterwards?
Triple H straight into the steps. And then Angle's got the upper hand over the Rock, but Rock kicks out. He does, but then the Rock tries to pin Angle, and then Triple H spoils it. So Stephanie throws in the sledgehammer.
Yep.
And somehow that ends up in Kurt Angle's hands, and he ends up accidentally... It starts with Kurt Angle's hands and ends up in Triple H gets it off him, and then he accidentally hits Stephanie with it. Yeah. So it's a big cluster.
It is just a cluster, isn't it? But look, I'm going to start tying this up with a bow. Rock bottom to Angle, Trips interferes, Triple H swings at Angle, nails Stephanie. Oh, you just said that.
Yeah.
Angle's got the sledgehammer. Angle slammed to the Rock. Rock bitch slaps Angle, Rock bottoms Triple H. I'm exhausted.
Yeah, well, then you left out the people's elbow, Glenn.
Oh, well, we all know that's coming.
Well, he wins with the people's elbow. I don't recall that being an actual, he does it every match, but it usually leads to some kind of shenanigans. It's rare that he actually gets a clean pin after hitting the people's elbow.
Yeah, well, it is a lame move, let's face it. I mean, anyone can do that move. Even though I can do that move, Jace.
Such electrifying style, though.
No, absolutely not. If only I could do an electrifying podcast one day. But Angle carries poor Stephanie out at the end like the gentleman he is.
Mm.
And that's SummerSlam 2000.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
It was pretty fun, and I'm going to wreck the party, Case. I'm going to be like Steve Blackman coming up behind you. It's party time, because SummerSlam 95 is what we're doing next. We're going back to the era, the reign, the terrifying reign of Kirk Mabel.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
Oh, don't speak too soon. But until then, folks, this has been Glenn Case of Royal Ramble.
Ramble on.
Casey by satellite.